Blog Talk Radio.
Darn right it is. Good evening and welcome to Eerie House Radio. Big, big night tonight. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show. Here along with
Dave Binkley from Weirdness, Really Bad Movie, and Spaceship One, and here along with
The one and only CW, to make things more interesting, here I am.
And we would like to welcome our very, very special guest tonight, the one, the only Lord Bloodra.
My lords and ladies, I'm very happy to be here on this magnificent, magnificent horror show.
Yep. And one of the reasons I couldn't wait for you to join us today is you're one of the few other movie hosts that's also hosting Old Time Radio.
Yes, yeah, there aren't many of us out there. Not many of them have discovered the vast riches of old time horror and science fiction radio. There is so much stuff out there that really needs to be dug up and listened to, because, you know, it's old stuff, yes, but it'll still send a chill down your spine, definitely.
We found, and we feel, or at least I know I do very strongly, that they had a very strong influence on the hosted comics, such as EC Comics of the 50s, and later the television horror hosts.
No doubt. The horror host phenomenon began with radio. As a matter of fact, Old Nancy, the Witch of Salem from The Witch's Tale, was the very first horror host. The very first host was The Shadow, because The Shadow didn't start out as this crime-fighting kind of superhero. He started out as a host of mystery stories. But then
Like The Whistler. Much like The Whistler.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Yeah. And it was basically to sell magazines, a promotional thing. And when people would go to buy the magazines, they wouldn't ask for Street and Smith's Tales of Mystery, whatever it was called. They would ask for the Shadow magazine. So they realized, oh, we've got something here. So they turned him into a character. So he was the first host. But yeah, Nancy, the Old Witch of Salem, was the mother of all radio hosts. But of course, Vampyra is the mother of all TV horror hosts, and
yes,
all respect to both of them.
And it's kind of funny that women have led the way on both radio and television for that.
Yes, yes, they have. Yes, they have. Yes, yes. And radio, as a matter of fact, radio horror hosts have a direct line to the comics horror hosts of EC Comics. I mean, I think they'll admit that Gaines, William Gaines, admits that he totally ripped off The Witch of Salem for the EC comic story.
Yep, and quite a job he did. I mean, those comics are absolutely historic and have influenced comics and storytelling in all its forms for a long, long time.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I would have never known about Old Nancy and some of the others. The oldest one I had heard of before working with Dave was the Old Hermit. Nancy predated. And then it was exciting to learn what a young person ended up playing her after the original person moved on. I think she was like 13 years old.
I think so, 13 or 14. Yeah, and she does an incredible job with it. Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And she started off kind of playing roles on the Let's Pretend, but some of the roles she got was like witch roles. kind of fit right in.
Perfect.
Yep.
Perfect.
Well, we're really glad that you share this love of these old-time radio programs. But you're here, you're our guest tonight. Tell us, for listeners who maybe are not familiar with any of your many, many talents, tell them what you do and how they can enjoy your hosting.
Well, for well over 10 years now, I've been hosting a show called Lord Bloodraw's Nerve Wracking Theater, in which I host the best, worst, and wildest horror and science fiction films ever made. You can go to, I mean, I'm syndicated kind of throughout the country and all over the internet and Roku. The best thing to do is go to lordbloodraw.com. That's LORDBLOODRAH.com and look at the TV schedule to find where you can watch the show and stream it and various things like that. And my latest endeavors are not only Lord Bloodraw's Nerve Rack and Theater, which actually just today became available as a podcast on Spotify and Anchor. If you look up Lord Bloodraw's Nerve Rack and Auditorium, you'll be able to find it there. But also I have a Patreon exclusive weekly TV, weekly series, I should say, called Lord Bloodraw's Cathode Zone. And there I host old classic TV episodes, things like Lights Out, One Step Beyond, GE Theater, various things like that, all with a kind of horror and science fiction bent. So I've kind of got horror and science fiction cornered doing movies, TV shows, and radio shows. The next thing is comics. I got to look into doing a comic book.
There you go. I understand you've also hosted some movies live. Is that right?
Oh,
like,
yeah,
in
that's
theaters.
How I started. That's how I started doing it at first, and then that kind of morphed into the TV show. In fact, I live here in Northern California, and at the Orinda Theater, gorgeous theater in Orinda, California, old movie palace that's been preserved wonderfully. I do a monthly show there called Chiller Diller Theater. And every third Saturday of the month, we present classic horror and sci-fi films. As a matter of fact, coming up on the 20th of this month, we're showing The Incredible Shrinking Man.
Oh, how nice. One of my favorite Robert Mack.
Yeah.
Great.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
And it's fun stuff. It's really fun stuff. And the great thing about that theater is, again, you're seeing these great old films in this classic movie palace with murals on the walls and that classic lighting. It's just gorgeous. And the theater has a full bar, so that helps a lot too.
Good night.
Good night. That's right. That's absolutely right. Yeah.
One of the things
that's
I enjoyed.
Saturday of the month.
One of the things I enjoyed with helping Jack program Creepy Castle and then later programming my own Eerie House Radio was when you sent stuff, when you allowed us to show, you know, your programs on our streaming channels, it never had to worry about content. It was always family friendly, always entertaining, well edited, nice, put together. You have such a presence. Everybody loves your character. And
well, thank you so much.
But what was an added bonus was it's sometimes hard to schedule to have everything start at the top of the hour. So you need filler, and you know, you can only throw in so many trailers or horror-related old-time commercials. So you had a great program, too, called The Tremulous Trailers that
it's
great to fill in after your show if it didn't quite make a two-hour block. You could drop in a Tremulous Trailer.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that. Yeah, Tremulous Trailers actually preceded the TV show Lord Bloodraw's Nerve Rack and Theater that came after the live stuff. It basically started with me doing live presentations here in the Bay Area. Then I thought, well, I got to get on YouTube. What am I going to do? I can host movies, or I could get these little bite-sized trailers, because I love trailers. That's another great love of mine. They do not make trailers like they used to. I love the classic trailers.
Nor the
so,
women who live
I
in them.
These...
Oh, sorry.
Sorry? No, go ahead.
That's a showstopper. Let me ask you, Lord Bloodraw here. What all got you started on getting in, you know, with the live and then into video and then the radio? Where did you get all started from, or the idea or pushed into it from?
Well, I grew up watching Creature Features in the Bay Area with Bob Wilkins, and that just instilled a love of horror and science fiction in me that is obviously, you know, there to this day. And some very close friends of our family own a winery just over the hill from me in Castro Valley. And they have this event area where they would do concerts and things. And he said, you know, Oh, I introduced him to Plan 9 from Outer Space. That's what it was. And he fell in love with the movie. He'd never seen it before. He was kind of new to the whole area of schlock, sci-fi, and horror. So he said, I'd like to show this. And I said, great. And I, you know, well, you're going to need a host to do that. So we contacted somebody locally who hosted it, and the show came off okay, but some things didn't work, and some promises fell through, and this and that. So the next day, we're at my place having a glass of wine, my wife and myself and the winemaker, I might as well mention him, Damien Chouinard of Chouinard Winery, Castro Valley. Excellent, excellent award-winning wines and a great family. And we were having a glass of wine, and he said, well, I want to do this every year, but I don't want to work with that host. You know, can we find another host? And I said, well, we'd have to look around. I don't know. And my wife turned to me and said, why the hell don't you do it? And I had no answer. So you know, there was a clap of thunder, and wolves howled in the distance, and Lord Bloodraw was born, essentially. I just kind of put together the thing from there. And the TV show came from about 2-3 years later. I was doing a convention in San Jose, and I was on a panel with horror hosts. And a guy stood up in the audience and said, I'm with Chabot College TV, and would you like, you know, we would very much like to air your TV show. And I said, great, yes, thank you. I didn't have a TV show. I didn't own a camera. I didn't have a set. I wasn't thinking of doing a TV show. But I thought, well,
until
I got this opportunity, I better put something together.
What an amazing
opportunity. Oh, yeah. I wasn't, you know. Need a TV show? Give me a week.
Well, it's just like many actors, you know. Do you know how to do this? Well, sure. Do you know how to do this? Sure. Then they run off and learn how to do it, you know. Some of them into Westerns, didn't even know how to ride a horse, you know, and they had to run off and do that before they went on there.
When the opportunity comes up, you do not say no. That's right.
Right.
Now for Dave and I, we were heavily influenced by the Cleveland area. I'm sure you realize how storied Cleveland is. You know, we had Ghoularty, the Ghoul, Chalk, and Superhost, and
Something in the water. There's something in the water there, man. I mean, what is it to turn out these classic horror hosts in that area?
Yeah. Luckily, it isn't like Michigan and it's lead. It's, you know, but it is something that brings out this horror hosting.
Oh my. And our very own Ernie Anderson ended up heading out your way. He was a great voiceover guy for ABC forever. What a set of pipes that guy had.
The low boat. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That was him. Yeah, and an early comedy partner with Tim Conway. They were a comedy team for a few years after that. Yeah.
Right. Tim Conway out of Cleveland, too, originally. Actually, Tom Conway.
That's right.
But he had to change his name to Tim, heading out to California, because there was already a Tom Conway out there.
George
Sanders' brother.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, CW brings up stuff we had no idea where, but she comes up, she's a book, a walking book.
Oh, good.
An
I love
esoteric
it.
Walking
I love,
book.
I love trivia.
Yep. Yeah, I guess she and the Sanders, they were both Sanders, and they flipped a coin when they were in England deciding which one would get to keep the name. They didn't both want to be going out trying to get jobs as Sanders, and Tom Conway lost, so he had to change his name. From the family name, so.
Well, it was fair. It was fair choice. Yeah.
There you go.
One of them joined the service and became Colonel Sanders. But.
There you go. That's right. We've been eating chicken ever since.
There you go. The secret recipe. Good show tonight. CDS Radio Mystery Theater. And what a fine host in E.G. Marshall. And this one, of course, we've been doing time travel since we're doing the time change. Do you guys do the time change over there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's coming up tonight or tomorrow night?
It's 2 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Tonight?
Yeah, so you got to get up 2 a.m. 2 a.m. tomorrow morning and set your clock back an hour. Go back to bed. Yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah, exactly. That's the way to do it.
Think I'll be doing it before I go to bed and not worry about it. There you go.
But spoil sport.
There you go.
Each year, well, each season that we do the time change, Dave manages always to find out how to theme up a nice weekend about time travel or clocks or something of that nature. And this weekend we've been doing calling. Last night it was calling into the future, even though you wouldn't know it by the title of the show. And tonight it's more calling into the past with a tale called Fatal Connection.
Mm-hmm. The Fatal Connection, that's right.
The Fatal Connection. Yeah, you got to be careful of those Fatal Connections. They aren't just on, you know, the dating websites, you know. Sometimes they're on Mystery Theater.
Yeah. If Meryl Streep shows up, look out.
Yeah.
When calling into the past.
Be ignored.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I Gar was saying there, he understands Arizona doesn't change back the clocks, and neither does Hawaii. Hawaii and Arizona do not observe time change.
They shouldn't have
for
to.
Them.
That's right.
No, it's such a dumb thing. It really is. I mean, you know, other than in the fall getting that extra hour of sleep, it's pointless. It doesn't help anything anymore, you know.
As one who commutes, I do appreciate the additional hour of light in the winter. As I'm getting older, it's getting a little harder to drive in the dark.
Oh, fair enough. Oh, fair. Yeah.
I should probably use headlights, though. That would help, I would imagine.
Well,
yeah, that might help.
You know,
oh, yeah.
You know, that's a novel thought, but.
Yeah, those glass things on the front of the. Okay, right. I just thought they were decoration.
Oh, yeah.
They're eyeballs. There's the car
yeah.
Eyeballs.
Mm. Yes, I'm of the opinion.
I
yeah,
cars,
since electricity.
What a nightmare world cars is, isn't it? Nightmare. What if we cohabitated in the cars world? I mean, you know, my God.
Well, only if you're stuck in my mother the car, yeah.
Oh.
Oh, there's something worse.
Yeah,
my mother-in-law, the car. Right. Now that would be horrible.
I
thought we put you down once. what are you doing coming back?
They're
here?
Bringing back everything else. They're
your
back
ex-mother-in-law
else.
Car.
I'm surprised no one's done my mother the car.
Well, yeah, Dale, you kind of remind me of a bit we did once and. Where Dan Tonelli got called. He said, well, we haven't talked to your wife yet, but your mother-in-law just passed away. We need to know, you know, what to do. And he said, you want her buried or cremated? He says, well, let's play it safe. First, let's burn the body, then let's bury it, you know?
Yes. Not any chances.
No chances.
What? Oh, I knew this was going to be a fun night. Do we have any good facts to share? Who's starring in our episode tonight?
Oh, we've got Jennifer Harmon, Nick Pryor, Robert Maxwell, and Joan Shea starring in it, and written by Feldon Farrington. We've played several of his episodes, and a few more yet to play. Other than that, we do have, you know, and you never know because Hyman Brown, based out of New York, loves his Broadway actors to get a chance to be on there. So, but that's who we have for tonight. Episode number 184 from December 9th, 1974 and 4.
And stick around. We'll be back after part one.
Bright and beautiful music. This is KIXI AM 91, Seattle.
It's 10 o'clock. Stay tuned for Mystery Theater next.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents...
Ah!
Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Some very strange things are about to happen, wherein the basics of normal living are drastically altered, and two people become lost in... Well, you'll hear. It'll all come out as we go along. Norma and Hal, he's Harold Glenford III, have inherited an ancient brownstone on New York's East 58th Street. Hal hasn't seen the house or the uncle who left it to him since he was a little boy. He doesn't know what to expect any more than Norma does, as they inspect the old house now for the first time since it became their own.
Yeah, you need a machete to get through these cobwebs.
Well, nobody's lived here in 10 or 15 years, you said, but it's going to be beautiful. A little belt tightening, maybe, but we can make it.
Don't advise tightening your belt. No kidding, Norma, the baby's due in April. You're going to have to stop working pretty soon. It's not going to be easy on my salary alone.
Oh, nobody said it was going to be easy.
And there are the ghosts, of course.
Cut it out.
Well, now, according to Uncle George, that's the reason nobody's been living here. The ghosts drove Uncle George himself out. That's what he said. And he couldn't keep the place rented, so he just gave up.
Okay. A house like this needs a ghost.
Mystery drama, The Fatal Connection, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Field and Farrington and stars Jennifer Harmon and Nick Pryor. It is sponsored in part by Contact, the 12-hour cold capsule, and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Kid, this is a stick-up.
Oh, please. I don't have any money.
Oh, hand me that. This is payday for all you college kids awake at Hinkelmeyer's. I seen you there.
Oh, but all I have is my paycheck.
That's okay. Hand it over.
Here.
You can keep the stub. Hey, wait a minute. How come they held out federal income tax?
Well, everyone has to pay income tax.
What's the matter with you, kid? Don't you know nothing? You do not have to pay no federal income tax unless you earn more than $2,050.
But they still have to withhold tax from my pay.
Look, kid, all you have to do is give your boss an IRS form, W-4E, instead of the usual W-4. And he is then not required to withhold any federal income tax from your pay. And you will not have to file no tax return to get it back.
Really? Hey, I didn't know that. Thanks.
Ah, that's okay. I figure you could use the money.
This message presented on behalf of the Internal Revenue Service.
Many scientists and philosophers see time as a road along which we pass, or a river along which we drift, the future waiting for us just around the bend ahead, a past obscured but not obliterated by the turn we just made. The rest of us, ordinary mortals that we are, find the moment in which we are currently trapped just about all we can handle. Norma and Hal Glenford have moved into their old house on East 58th Street. The furniture from their former three-room apartment only half fills the first floor. The second floor and the attic-like third floor will have to wait.
Except, Hal, we'll have to have a nursery. You know, a baby's bedroom.
You stand there, the living proof of it.
And there's no place for it on the first floor, so we'll have to find a place on the second floor, right?
Logical.
Then our bedroom will have to be on the second floor, too, don't you see? I mean, we have to sleep on the same floor with the baby.
Hey, you're right. I hadn't thought of it before.
The back room on this floor makes a very small bedroom, anyway. We could use it as a sort of, music room or study or whatever.
You make us sound very prosperous.
We will be. Lawyers are always rich when they get a little older.
I like the sound of that, Norma. Doesn't make any sense, but I find the simplicity of it comforting.
Oh, shall we go upstairs and see what there's for a bedroom and a nursery?
Okay. I'll go first and clear away the cobwebs.
Oh, we'll carpet the stairway. Later, of course.
When we're rich. That's an old bedroom, as I recall. One of the doors is a linen closet. There are five doors, so that leaves just three rooms.
And one more than we need. Well, this would be all right for our bedroom. It's much nicer than the little room downstairs, don't you think?
Okay. Bedroom here. That takes care of us. Now about Junior. Hey, this door is locked.
Well, just stuck, probably.
No, it's locked. Why would anybody lock an inside door? That's odd. Where did I put that bunch of keys the lawyer gave us?
In your jacket pocket, dummy. You think maybe there's a treasure hidden in that room?
Or ghosts. It's been locked for a while.
It's all furnished.
Son of a gun. Right out of the 19th century. It looks like what used to be an upstairs sitting room or something of the kind.
Oh, Hal, just look at that secretary. It must be 100 years old, and it looks just as solid as...
Oh, my gosh, a telephone.
One of those old wall phones. I've seen pictures of them. Shouldn't it have a crank? Oh, I'd like to furnish the whole house just like this. You know, everything to match the house itself. I wouldn't change a thing in here.
Well, I could live without the cobwebs and the dust.
Well, I'll speak to the upstairs maid about it. Good help is so hard to come by lately, my dear. Have you noticed?
Oh, I have indeed.
It's the times, I'm afraid. Everything seems to be going to pot. Well, darling, would you believe it? The butcher today wanted 18 cents a pound for steak. Just plain old beefsteak. 18 cents a pound.
Well, we might as well eat at Delmonico's if it costs that kind of money to cook it all.
Oh, let's, shall we?
This evening? Well, why not? I'll order a hack. Excuse me, my dear. Operator, I'd like a hansom cab sent to 621 East 58th Street at once. At once, understand? We'll be going to Delmonico's. Let's go back downstairs where the 20th century is and see if there are any hot dogs in the refrigerator.
Actually, though, I guess 18 cents was hard to come by in those days, as $2 is today.
Not for old Grandpa Glenford, it wasn't. Great-grandpa, that would be. He was filthy rich.
Was he the one who built this house?
No, I don't know that he built it. He was the first Glenford to own it.
Whatever happened to all that money?
Gave it away.
Gave it away?
That's what my father told me. Maybe it was just a figure of speech.
You know what we ought to have? We ought to have a bottle of champagne to break over the bow of the house, or the stern, or whatever they break it, if houses had them.
Well, now, if you look in the refrigerator, just to the right of the meat drawer, you'll find a quart of excellent domestic champagne cooling. To be taken internally, though, not broken over anything.
Oh, what a doll you are. Shall we have it now?
Well, I thought after dinner, but if you'd rather...
What was that?
Well, it sounded like somebody at the door.
Well, what's the matter with the doorbell?
Honey, I don't know. Maybe it's broken. Maybe somebody likes the knocker better. I'll see who it is. Yes? What can I do for you?
Your hansom cab, sir. For Delmonico's, I believe.
It was a joke of some kind, Norma.
Who played it if it was a joke? I mean, who knew you made that nutty pretend phone call upstairs? I don't see how it could be a joke.
Well, then, a coincidence. There are hansom cabs still operating over at Central Park.
Oh, sure. And one of them just happened to drive all the way across town. And as long as it was in the neighborhood, the driver just thought he'd knock at our door and tell us our cab was here to take us to Delmonico's. Oh, come on, Hal.
Well, okay. You explain it.
I can't. That's what's bothering me.
Well, you don't think... No, you surely don't think...
No. No, of course I don't. What did the driver say when you sent him away?
Well, something about it was a funny mistake for the office to make if I didn't order a hansom. He was grumpy about losing a fare.
Did he look like a real hansom cab driver? I mean, did he look like somebody you've seen driving a hansom around the park today, or was he, well, you know, dressed like the real old-timey ones?
I didn't really notice. Look, now, why don't we just forget him? Why don't we just have dinner and see what's on TV and drink our champagne and go to bed? I've got to go to work in the morning, even if I do live in a mansion. Especially since I do.
Here's to great-grandfather Glenford.
Look, take it easy with that stuff, will you? The bottle's half gone already. You're a novice at this, remember?
And here's to handsome cab drivers everywhere. Hey, you know what we ought to do?
There isn't any more champagne, if that's what you mean. I only bought one bottle.
No, no. What we ought to do is something about that phone upstairs.
Yeah, like have it taken out.
No, I want to order something. A new dress. Something like that. I mean, if they send over cabs when you order them, why not?
You'd better let me finish this bottle.
Bring it upstairs. Come on.
4 years it's taken me to find out I married a lush.
There it is. Our fairy godmother compliments of the telephone company. You want to go first?
No, you go ahead. I'm just along for the ride.
What shall I ask for?
Well, look, don't fool around with one dress. Ask for a whole new wardrobe. As long as you're going to be a kook, you might as well be kooky in the grand manner.
You're a genius. Hello. I want a whole new wardrobe. Oh, no, no. Two wardrobes. One for myself and one for my husband. Everything in the latest style and everything must fit perfectly. Oh, and have everything finished and delivered by the time I get home from work tomorrow afternoon. That's, I guess, it for now. You want to order something, Hal?
Well, sure. Why not? Here, give me that. Hello. I want the house completely redecorated. Completely. Restored, I should say, exactly as it was when the place was new. And I don't mean just when you get around to it. I want that finished by tomorrow afternoon also. By the end of the working day. Thank you.
Beautiful.
Let's finish this bubble water and get to bed. Hey, what do you bet you have a headache in the morning?
You'd have lost that bet. No headache. All I want is a cup of coffee, though.
Me too. That's all we have time for anyway.
Well, pick me up after work this afternoon.
Sure. I may be a little late, though.
That's okay. A secretary's work is never done.
So, after I spend the better part of 3 weeks working on this brief, and it's brilliant, if I do say so myself, who do you think is going to take it into court?
Mr. Fuller?
Old J.C. himself. Who else? How was your day?
Oh, you know. Once you've typed one letter, you've typed them all. You know something? We ought to walk home from my office every evening.
Hold my briefcase while I unlock the door, will you?
I wonder if they finished.
Who finished what?
The decorators, you know. You told them it had to be finished by the end of the working day. How?
Now, This is too much. I mean, what kind of a joke?
It is, Hal. It's all been redecorated, restored. Just like you ordered. Oh, Hal.
Hey, where's our new television set? Now that is going too far. That set cost color TV. That was a 21-inch screen.
But how did they do it? Who did it? I mean, I can't figure... Hal!
What?
The refrigerator's gone. Look at this thing. What is it?
It's an old icebox. It's full of ice. I don't think you can get ice like this anymore. There's something... This is all wrong, Norma.
It's not a joke, is it, Hal? Nobody makes this kind of a joke.
A coal range. An old coal range. My grandmother Scott had one of those out in her summer kitchen. Nobody used the things even then.
The toaster, the blender, everything, Hal, it's all gone.
That telephone. That damn telephone.
It's real, isn't it? It really is real. You tell the telephone you want something and you get it. It's like a genie in a bottle. You just order it and I think I'm scared.
All right. If it'll work one way, it ought to work the other, too. In reverse.
What are you going to do, Hal?
Come on. I'm going up there, and I'm going to tell that lousy telephone to put our own stuff back in this house and then leave us alone. That's what I'm going to do. Now, listen, you, whoever you are, I want you to
number,
stop...
Number, please. Number, please.
Oh, my God.
Hal?
Norma. Norma, let's get out of this place.
A telephone? Redecorate and completely restore a 19th century house? And all in the course of an 8-hour day? It seems impossible, doesn't it? And yet there it is. And somebody did it. Or something. We'll look into it further when I return shortly with Act Two.
And we'll be here for it. This is getting interesting here. With a weird telephone.
Hmm. So far, I don't see the problem. I don't see the problem. You got a phone that will deliver anything you want. Granted, it's got to be kind of an old-fashioned, you know, it's got to be old-fashioned stuff. But, hey, money's old-fashioned, you know. Drop off a few gold bars and we're good.
Yeah, but that was only Act One. We've got two more acts to go yet. Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
Yep.
Yeah,
and,
I like a phone like that.
We're hoping, CW, you got your script okay?
Uh-oh, I did not.
For a little later on?
Oh, well.
Hinge, nudge, wink,
Hurry.
Interesting, a couple of facts about our writer today, Fieldon Farrington. Wrote 21 of these mystery theaters. Before that, he wrote two episodes of Just Plain Bill, but really what he did, he wrote 106 episodes of The Green Hornets. How do you like that?
Oh! All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just another one of those guys like Hyman Brown. Didn't do much, just kind of hung around, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, the output of some of these people back in the day was just incredible, amazing amount of work that these people did.
It reminds me a little bit like vaudeville. The reason you had people who could juggle so deftly is there was nothing else to do, and they had incredible amounts of time to practice.
Yeah,
You know, difficult physical feats. So it's surprising and yet not to me.
Right. And multi-performers, singers, dancers, you could do comedy and dramatic acting. You know, you rarely see that anymore. Rarely see that.
Yeah, the crossover talent, once in a while will, but...
I think a lot of actors seem to get pigeonholed and don't get the opportunity to cross over sometimes, or they themselves choose not to. But, you know, I thought it was interesting. I know... It's crazy, but I really enjoyed Cop Rock because you saw a lot of people who acted in a lot of different things, and here they were, they go into something, they start belting out a song. To me, that was cool, seeing these guys who you'd seen in many other places, and all of a sudden, they break out into a song. I just thought it was, to me, to see an actor do something completely different than what they did. You know,
kind of like Christopher Walken dancing.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
Or
yeah,
like Leslie Nielsen doing comedy after being the pretty boy for so long and so many years, you know?
Right.
It's, and then becoming a comedy legend.
Right. Yeah. Actors are kind of crammed in the molds very often these days, and you don't get to see them branch out very often.
No, it's refreshing when you do. And, thank goodness for that. I mean, sure, as you mentioned, you know, Leslie Nielsen was kind of a pretty boy. And, of course, you know, in a lot of the pioneer science fiction films like Forbidden Planet. But it was nice to reinvent himself at the end and become incredibly popular once again.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Most people today probably think of him as a comedic actor rather than as a straight actor.
They do, but I remember watching him on television, a couple different series he was in. And not just the anthology shows like the Alfred Hitchcock Hour and the Tales of Tomorrow and things like that, which of course he did, but he did a couple of series as well. And he was always kind of of course several Columbos where he got to at least play a bad guy in those, you know?
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, wasn't Creepshow before Airplane?
I think it was.
I think it may have been after. I know we noticed him in Airplane, and then Creepshow. I think they were made about the same time, but I think Airplane might have had a little bit of release in front of it. And they may have been out the same year. But, yeah, he was tremendous, a bad guy in that one.
Yeah, he was. He really was.
Yeah. He kind of gets his just desserts at the end.
That's right. I can hold my breath for a long time. Beautiful.
We're going to find out just how long he can hold his breath.
Yes.
Nope, still breathing.
That had to be a rough scene to shoot. Up to your neck, fan.
Yeah, unless they shot through like an aquarium or something like that. He really did appear to be underwater.
I know. that is a terrifying and hilarious shot. With his head just there underwater, bubbles coming out, the expression on his face.
Yep. Let's move on to part two of Fatal Connection from CBS Radio Mystery Theater. And we have our special guest, of course, Lord Bloodraw, with us tonight to share in our hosting duties.
Yes, all the money.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Better Business Bureau knows.
Hey, honey, this looks like a good deal. No payment for 3 months on easy credit terms.
But, Lou, don't you think we should be sure we can meet the payments?
She's right, Lou. Shop for credit as carefully as you shop for products. Who are you? I'm the man from the Better Business Bureau. Now, before you decide to buy anything on time, ask yourself if you could make the payments out of your regular income. How far is your credit extended now? Have you any credit or cash reserve to cover an unexpected illness or loss of job?
Gee, thanks. Maybe I better think it over. Thanks for your advice.
Not at all. Just another consumer tip from your Better Business Bureau.
One of the many things we still don't understand about our universe. Now here, in an old house on New York's East Side, Hal and Norma Glenford have found an antiquated telephone that seems to constitute some kind of flaw in what we consider the natural passage of time. At least in the incredibly short objective space of 8 hours, the house has somehow become its original 19th century self. The past, if Hal and Norma can believe what they see and hear, has been trapped within its walls. The eeriness of it has sent the two of them frightened out onto 58th Street.
It's so quiet out here, and so dark. I don't remember it being this dark before.
Well, we haven't been around this neighborhood much at night. I guess east of First Avenue, the city just doesn't waste money on bright lights.
Let's walk up that way, Hal. Right now, I don't want to go back into the house.
Okay. Up toward Third Avenue or Lex? You know, I don't think I ever heard New York this quiet before. East Side, West Side, day or night. It's like a tomb.
Hal? Hal, do you hear it?
I don't hear anything, just...
Now, do you hear it?
Well, yeah, I hear something like a... It's like a...
It sounds to me like an L train. A few
blocks away, like the Third Avenue L.
Which was torn down. When? 15 years ago.
Well, listen to it.
Hey, this I've got to see.
But how, if it's the old Third Avenue L, then that means that everything...
No,
everywhere...
no, listen, we don't know what it means. Some nostalgia freak with a recording, probably. Something like that. Come on, let's go see.
Now, if that isn't an L stopping, I've never heard an L stopping.
Well, you haven't in a long time.
But I've heard plenty of them when I was a kid.
Wait a minute, Norma. What do you hear now?
A horse. Don't tell me that's not a horse.
That sure sounds like one. Mounted cop, most likely, or maybe that same nostalgia buck.
If that's a recording, then it's some recording. I've never heard a record.
Now, wait a minute. Wait. That horse is no recording. It's either a mounted policeman or...
There's your nostalgia buff. All four hoofs.
Well, some companies must still use horses. You know, late at night.
And... It's not that late. Anyway, look what's in the wagon.
I see them. Those big milk cans they used to... Well, look, I don't know. Maybe they still use them.
I'm scared.
Well, it's spooky, I admit that. So still and no traffic except that horse and wagon? Well, look, Norma, there's got to be a logical explanation. I mean, if there's not, what's happened? Have we lost our minds?
Oh, no.
Well, no, Norma, don't get upset.
No, Hal, that's not what I mean. Look up there.
Up where?
At the light. The street light on the corner.
It looks like a...
It's a gas light. That's what it is.
I think maybe we ought to get back to the house and see if we can't get organized.
It's back there, too, Hal.
Okay, but if everything's gone back to the 19th century or something, let's at least go back and face it in our own home.
If we still have a home.
The key seems to turn easier.
What if there's somebody in there? I mean, we didn't live here, and... What year do you think it is, Hal?
It's... Oh, Lord, I'm so mixed up. How can it be anything but 1974? That's what it is.
Or was, or will be.
Now, we've got to stop this foolishness. The first thing we need is some dinner. Maybe with some good, solid food inside us, we can take a more reasonable view of this mess.
I don't know how to cook on a coal range. I don't even know how to make it burn, do you? Well, we were lucky there was some stuff in the icebox already cooked. I wonder who cooked it.
Maybe my grandmother.
What do you suppose happened to them? Your great-grandmother and grandfather. Are they supposed to be living here? Are they going to come walking in and...
Listen, what's that?
It's that phone upstairs, Hal.
You mean the one that... Oh, Lord.
Let it ring, Hal. Just let it ring.
I can't. If it's somebody from... Whatever year this is, I've got to talk to him, Norma. I've got to.
All right, but I'm going with you. They put carpet on the stairway, or had it on the stairway, whichever.
Hurry up, will you? I don't want whoever it is to hang up before we get there.
It's actually a new house now, isn't it? You don't see the signs of age anymore. It doesn't look like 1,000 coats of paint on everything.
Hello?
This is Bill, Harold. Where have you been all day?
Well...
I practically camped outside your office all afternoon, and you never did show up.
Who did you say this is?
Are you all right, Harold? It's Bill. Bill Voigt, your partner.
Oh, yes. Yes, of course. I was wool gathering.
I guess you were. Listen, I've got to talk to you bright and early tomorrow morning. You're in a jam, Harold.
A jam? Well, can't you tell me about it now?
You'd better get in here tomorrow for your own good. It's nothing to do with me, but for your own good.
Oh, well, if it's that important...
It is. It's to you, Harold, not to me. To you.
All right. Thanks for calling, Bill.
What was that about a jam?
He didn't say. But you want to know something weird? He thought he was talking to my great-grandfather. That man called me Harold, and that was his name. I can't remember anybody ever calling me Harold my whole life. He thought he was talking to my great-grandfather. I can't see. How did they read by these silly gas lights anyway?
There's an oil lamp right there on the desk. I think they used oil lamps to read by at night. The gas fixtures are all up on the wall.
Well, do you know how to light one of these things amid the lamps?
Well, just take the chimney off, or the glass thing. Then you hold a match to the wick like a candle.
Because if this is my great-grandfather's desk, I mean, the way he left it only yesterday, I want to know what's in it. Is this what you mean by the wick?
Yes. Do you think we'll ever get back, Hal? I don't know if I could stand it stuck here forever.
There's no way of knowing, Norma. Everything's written in longhand. This looks like a deed of some kind, most likely for the house. No. My gosh.
What?
This is a deed to an office building on Fifth Avenue. Way downtown, but that's where the action was in those days. These days.
Your great-grandfather owned an office building?
I told you. He was loaded. There goes that lousy telephone again.
Don't answer it, Hal.
Look, you can come with me. It's no good just letting it ring. It's got to be somebody important. There weren't many phones in those days. These days, damn it, only rich people could afford telephones.
It'll just mix things up all the more, though, answering it.
Look, it's our only contact the way things are.
I wish. Oh, it's no good wishing.
Hello?
Hello. Mr. Glenford?
Yes?
This is Maud Spencer, Mr. Glenford. Is Norma in?
Just a minute, I'll see. Norma, do you know a Maud Spencer?
I don't know anybody here.
She asked for Norma. Norma. Now, maybe it's a link of some kind. You'd better talk to her.
Oh, Hal, I don't want to talk on that thing.
Look, this could be the breakthrough. Here, talk to her.
Hello?
Norma, my dear. We were all expecting you at Sarah Aldrich's tea this afternoon. I do hope you're not sick.
Sarah who?
Aldrich. Sarah Aldrich. Well, you were invited, weren't you? Sarah said you were.
Oh, well, yes, I guess I was. Yes, of course I was. I've been having these spells, you know, headaches and that kind of thing.
Oh, dear. No trouble about your delicate condition, I hope.
Well, it's related, I guess. Nothing to be concerned about. I'm just supposed to get a lot of rest, you know, stay at home and take it easy.
Oh, dear. Is there anything I can do? I'll come and see you tomorrow afternoon.
No, don't do that.
What?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean it the way it sounded. All I meant was I'm perfectly all right. I really don't need a fuss made over me or anything like that. It just isn't necessary. That's all I meant.
Well, I'm sure I have no wish to intrude where I'm not
Look,
necessary.
I wish you wouldn't. Hello? Hello? She hung up.
It wasn't anyone you know?
No. I was supposed to have gone to Sarah somebody's tea this afternoon and didn't show up.
Well, it could have been the breakthrough.
One thing. Whoever was supposed to have answered this phone is called Norma, and she's pregnant.
I'll tell you this. My great-grandfather was not a very popular man.
How do you mean?
Well, if he had any friends, they sure didn't write to him. These letters are all from people who hated his guts, claim he stole them blind.
Stole? Do you think it's true?
I'm beginning to believe that old Harold Glenford Esquire was mixed up in some pretty shady enterprises.
What kind of shady?
Kickbacks, near extortion, character assassination, embezzlement, or something very like it. If a third of these letters are right, you name it, and old great-granddaddy Glenford was into it.
Well, that's shocking.
Listen, you want to hear one?
I'm not sure I do.
Glenford. This guy signs himself James Blakely. Glenford. You are unfit to breathe God's pure air. The ways of God are beyond understanding, but justice is inevitable either in this world, which you be foul, or in the next, where, never fear, the punishment you deserve has been prepared for you. To hasten you into that world would be an act of the highest nobility. If I do not do the deed myself, rest assured that another will in good time.
Wow.
A sample. Only a sample.
How?
Well, what is it?
Look at this.
It's a... This is a picture of you and me. That sure is what it looks like. But in those clothes? Where did you get this?
In this desk drawer. Look on the back.
Mr. and Mrs. Harold W. Glenford on the occasion of their wedding, June 18, 1894.
And look at those signatures. Except for a couple of curlicues, they're yours and mine. I can't help it how I'm scared.
I don't see how it's possible, but it must be. I have somehow become my own great-grandfather. Not only that, but you're my great-grandmother, and that child you're carrying, due to be born next April, is my grandfather.
Paradoxical? Well, yes, of course. You presuppose paradox the moment you start moving about in time. How do you know you aren't your own great-grandfather or grandmother? If tomorrow you found an old telephone in your attic, well, how do you know? I'll return shortly with Act Three.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love. But give your courage to contact. The sooner the better.
6-3-0-1. That's the question when you catch the common cold. Sneezing, drips, congestion. Then take 12-hour contact. You'd need 6 cold tablets, 2 every 4 hours, or 3 ounces of Cold's liquid, 1 every 4 hours, or just 1 contact for up to 12 hours continuous relief of those symptoms. The Tiny Time Heroes do it. Both the others contain things for aches and fever. The liquid, something for coughs, not found in contact. Your cold, your choice.
Gee, the end of that last segment had me thinking of that song. I'm my own grandpa.
And I want to open my commercial. Why would I want to take a cold capsule? I mean, I don't want a cold.
That's right.
It's silly.
Anti-cold capsule. And we are here with the mighty and powerful Lord Bloodraw, who's joined us tonight on Eerie House.
Glad to be here.
Yep. How did my lords and ladies come about? That is like the greatest intro. It's respectful to the audience.
Oh, yes.
It's your signature intro. How did that come about?
Well, that and actually the term lord came from one of my favorite performers. He was a performer named Lord Buckley. And he was late 50s. He died in 1960, I believe. But he was a guy who would take classic literature, song lyrics, Shakespeare, verses from the Bible, anything, and translate them into hip language, jazz language. Like he did the soliloquy from, I believe it's Julius Caesar, friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. He did it as hipsters, flipsters, and finger popping daddies, knock me your load. And he was famous
That's
for
tremendous.
Doing that kind of thing. And he always called people my lords and my ladies, because he believed that the common person was noble and royal. And I really liked that attitude, so I just stole it. Flat out stole it from Lord Buckley.
So
he was Lord Buckley. Was Lord Buckley the Naz, huh? N-A-Z-Z.
That's right. That's right. The Naz.
We had a guy out here in Cleveland that predates our television horror host. In fact, he's technically the first. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, called Mad Daddy Pete Myers.
Yes. Oh, man. What a genius. Yes.
Yeah. That guy was incredible. We've talked about him here at length on, you know, on Erie House, but I just was curious. You seem to be very well read on some of these incredible personalities that we both seem to like. Well, all of us here seem to like.
He was amazing. I don't know if it's true or not, but I believe it was in the Korean War. He was supposedly decorated for putting out an announcement over the official radio communications that there was a giant creature attacking the island, and we had the bug out, and the enemy actually left the island because of this transmission that he put out. It could be totally apocryphal. I don't know, but why let facts get in the way of a great story?
Exactly. I'm going to pretend it's not going forward. I think that's a great story.
That's a great story, too, yeah.
Hey, we got to pay the bills here. We got to pay the bills here. So the time for a paid announcement of sorts. From the Elk and Moose Last Will and Testament. You know, you never know what may happen to you or when your time may come.
And when your time comes, who will be there for you?
And how will you know who will get your money and possessions?
We can help them get just what they deserve or what they don't.
We're the representatives of Elk and Moose, personal attorneys.
And there are so many things to worry about as we get older, so why not relieve one of these worries with your last will and testament?
Think of all those undeserving relatives circling your deathbed like vultures, waiting for you to kick off just to see what they get.
Wouldn't you like to get the last lap on them by giving all your money to the Wild Monkey Preserve of Zambia or the National Clown School in Florida?
They have a clown school in Florida?
Sure. Where do you think all those stupid Florida man news items come from?
Clown school initiation?
Hey, there you go.
Let's face it, we can send it anywhere you want.
And if you don't know where to send it, well, we can help you with that, too.
We can help you find that very deserving organization, an organization like Elk and Moose Personal Attorneys.
That's right. Elk and Moose attorneys have the best layaway plan in the business.
Just give us a small fee up front and leave the rest to us in your will. The rest of everything you own.
That way we can keep it out of the hands of your greedy relatives and into our greedy hands.
We're only thinking of your money. Why not think of us first?
And if you don't want to leave it with us, no problem.
No problem at all, because we can release those pictures we have of you in our safe to the National Enquirer.
After all, what's a little blackmail between friends?
We just want your money to be safe.
Safe with us at Elk.
Elk
and Moose.
And Moose.
And Moose.
Personal attorney.
Attorney.
All together now.
Yeah. Synchronicity is not yet, no. So, with that being said.
Newspapers are just as good an advertising medium as radio.
Sure. Driving home at night, you can enjoy your newspapers. It lies there on the seat. And there's another good thing about newspapers. You can read them while you're rushing to get ready for work in the morning, right?
Who listens to radio?
We do!
That go where you go medium called radio. That's with you every night through the long commuter fight. And in the morning with your toast and mama lady-o. Who listens to radio. No matter if it's summer, winter, spring or fall. Who listens to radio? Only 150 million. 150 million people. That's all.
Of which we have a very small share. But we're still having fun doing it. We're still having fun doing it. You must be a fan of Stan Freberg, no?
Oh, Lord. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we're doing a lot of the same kind of things. Yeah, I actually met Stan Freberg completely out of the blue. I was at a convention in San Francisco called WonderCon. And I came around the corner, and there he sat with his wife, and he was kind of up in years then. And I was one of the very few people there who, like, recognized him or knew who he was. But I walked up to him and spoke to him for a while, and it was wonderful. Yeah. What a comic genius. Absolute comic genius.
Oh, absolutely.
Check out his radio shows are available on Archive and various other places. We probably know more from his classic commercials, really.
We've shared a few of them here. In fact, a couple interesting things. Oh gosh, one of the funniest ones. And what's her name? June just passed away not long ago.
June Foray.
Yes, that's right.
And some other great cartoon voices. They I think that Dawes was that
Butler.
A free. Yeah, Dawes Butler.
Yeah.
That was the one with the onions, right, Dave?
Oh yeah, the
Great Carrot Rebellion or something.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Okay, that's not a Stan Freberg, but a lot of his cohorts.
No, that wasn't Stan Freberg. Dawes Butler and June Foray were both in there, though. Yeah.
Oh, we had a lot of fun with that one.
Stan Freberg did do one of the he did it on the art of. Well, not sarcasm, but what is it he considered himself a satirist? The art of being a satirist. Yeah.
Yep.
And very interesting it was.
And the other cool thing was one of my favorite Cleveland area horror hosts, The Ghoul, he would interrupt the films with sound bites from various comedy albums or whatever. And he had one for years. For 40 years, I did not know the source. It was someone screaming, ow, ow, ow. Here, by working with Dave.
Yeah, uses that a lot, too.
Well, by working with Dave, it was from a Stan Freberg where they did a spoof called The Honey Earthers.
Yep.
And the Ralph Cramden character got hurt, and I knew the soundbite right away. I'm like, so that's where the ghoul got it. Because Dave told me that some of those were printed on vinyl back in the day.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah, sometimes when they had something really successful on the show, both they took it the next morning, they'd go and put it on vinyl for Capitol. The Honey Earthers was one. Another one was A Wonderful. They did the same thing with that. And the vinyl version ending was a lot better, I thought. But because there he's just floating off, and you know the captain sees him, and it's just a mirage. You see it out on the ocean, and then as they walk away, you know he says, "Orange Love, you're help, a wonderful,"
Of course, Stan Freeberg's classic was "I Was a Teenage Ad Executive."
Yes.
That's genius. I was a teenage ad executive.
Eventually, we plan to get to everything. We're hoping to live that long because there's so much to share. We try to specialize in horror, sci-fi, and fantasy, but every once in a while we'll break out. We'll do a few dramas, some westerns, things like that. But for the most part, we try to stay a little on the darker side, but eventually we want to get to everything.
Sure. And then you've got the major horror stars of the day doing radio, and they mostly did a comedy. They did a lot of comedy. Bela Lugosi did an episode of, I cannot think of his name, famous radio comic dour, sad face, looked almost like Buster Keaton, but wasn't.
Fred Allen.
Ah! Fred Allen. Fred Allen, thank you. Mm-hmm. Yes, Fred Allen.
We've been Fred fortunate Allen, enough to yeah. find little sound bites and things. It's very hard to get a lot of Lugosi, but even more rare.
Yeah.
And we've only found one thing so far is Chaney Jr. There's a missing episode of Inner Sanctum with Chaney Jr. That is not currently known, but we have one where he's with Abbott and Costello on radio.
Yeah.
That we played.
Oh yes, I've heard that one. Yeah. And the funny thing about the Fred Allen Lugosi episode is. I believe it's Fred Allen. Yeah, it's Fred Allen. Later he had Karloff, or actually I don't know which was on first, and they basically used the same script.
Did they?
They
were making that.
But it's the same.
They were making that joke bomb or whatever. Is that because that's one of the ones that Karloff did was he was down in his thing making a joke bomb or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I believe so. Yeah. Yeah.
Great radio memories, and we try to, again, we're going to try to get to everything. We do specialty shows. We've done a few all-music shows. Not this most recent, but the previous Halloween, we had an all-music show, and I don't know, a few months ago, we did an all-World War II music show.
Yep.
Oh, there you go.
And found a bunch more V-Disc, Dale, so we should be having a V-Disc music show coming up again pretty soon here.
There you go. Good stuff on Erie House Radio. Let's wrap up our feature, the Fatal Connection, and find out what's going on with this phone.
Indeed.
Yes, indeed.
All right, you 3,000 elves. I don't have to tell you, Christmas is getting closer. So today, we're going to rehearse the song that'll remind everybody to mail early for Christmas. Ready, and... not bad. A little more spirit this time. We want everyone to have Christmas mail at the post office early. Mail that's full of surprises and joy. Ready? once more, please. All together to remind everybody out there to mail Christmas packages at the post office by December 10th and cards by the 15th.
If I had my life to live over, that's not an uncommon expression. We've all heard it. But have you ever heard anyone say, if I had my great-grandfather's life to live over? That's exactly what has happened to Hal Glenford, if his conclusions are correct. He has not only gone back in time to his great-grandfather's day, but he has also taken on his great-grandfather's identity, and the wife he loves is now, as he must believe, his own great-grandmother. A situation of many complexities. Hal has broken open the strongbox he found in old Harold Glenford's desk and has gone quickly through its contents.
Well, there's one comfort. If we actually are my great-grandfather and grandmother, we're very rich people.
What difference does that make?
A lot, if we're stuck in this time.
I want out, rich or not.
Well, honey, so do I, of course. But there are securities and deeds in this strongbox representing well over $1 million in assets. And $1 million was really worth something in 1897.
Is that when it is now?
Mid-November of 1897, according to the dates on those letters I read.
How can't you do something about it?
What? Invent a time machine? Look, I don't know. Maybe it'll just happen. Like the other time, only in reverse. Norma, I'm sorry. That's the best I have to offer. Meantime, I think we ought to get some sleep.
Sleep? In the middle of a thing like this, sleep?
Try to, anyway. I wish we had that bottle of champagne we drank last night. Oh, Lord. It wasn't last night. The grapes that went into that champagne haven't even been planted yet.
Oh, hello there.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize you had someone in your office with you.
Never mind. I was just leaving.
Sit down, Harold. You were wise to shave off your beard.
My... Yes. Well, my wife never really liked it, and I thought...
Well, it served you well. Blakely didn't recognize you.
Was that James Blakely?
What are you talking about? You know perfectly well it was James Blakely.
No, I mean, I had a letter from him yesterday. I could have... do you know I could have him in court for some of the things he said?
Yeah, that's rather funny, you know. You having James Blakely in court instead of the other way around? That's really very funny.
I don't think I know what you mean.
Well, that's neither here nor there. I want to dissolve our partnership, Harold, as of this moment.
Oh? Do you mind telling me why?
Do you really think that's necessary?
I wish you'd tell me...
Oh, all right. All right. I've had my fill of being a thief's associate.
Now, wait. Just a minute.
I took my share in the beginning. You're not the only fool in the room, but I'm through with it now. And thank God I had no part in the Blakely thing.
All right. I was checking things over last night, thinking things over. Some of my business tactics have been, all right, shameful. I admit that. But I decided last night to change things. I mean, no shady dealings of any kind from now on.
I see. Change things. And make restitution?
Well, where it's reasonable, where it's possible.
Without costing you money, you mean? I don't believe you, Harold. Not for a minute, I don't. How are you going to make restitution to Jim Blakely?
I don't... Would you mind refreshing my memory on the Blakely thing?
Oh, now, really,
no,
Harold?
No, I've been lately, I've been reassessing. I've been reevaluating, and there are just so many details. I'd just like to hear the Blakely affair clearly stated. Objectively, you know.
Oh, nonsense. Well, all right, if you want to hear it all over again. If you really want to wallow in that miserable can of worms a second time.
Please, Bill, it would help me.
Well, Blakely came to you in the first place looking for a handout. On the tape, granted. I'm sure you haven't forgotten that.
No.
You were still under 30 at the time, but you were already under my guidance, damn it. That's what I hate. You were already a power in the construction industry. Blakely was sure you gave kickbacks, and he wanted one.
Then he was as much to blame as I if he came to me.
At the time, you managed it so that you had his signature on a dozen damaging documents. And you never signed so much as a letter to him. You remember that.
Well,
you've always worked that way, and you gave him a low bid on that job, and good value, too. The State Parks Commission building, wasn't it?
I don't remember.
And Blakely got a promotion because of it, and another, until he was made State Highways and Buildings Commissioner. It wasn't until then that you started blackmailing him. Blackmail?
Well, it's not an uncommon practice.
And you bled him white. No more kickbacks, but every contract out of Blakely's office has gone to you for, what's it been, 2 years now?
Well, if I put him where he is in the first place...
They've caught him, Harold. He's going before a grand jury next week, and they'll indict. He's finished. There isn't a shred of evidence against you except his word, which, of course, isn't worth a tinker's damn now. You never signed a thing, did you?
A man who signs damning documents is nothing more than
a fool, like Blakely. Does that refresh your memory?
It puts things in perspective.
Well, as I've told you, I'm very happy that I had anything to do with the Blakely business. Right now, he's thinking about killing you. No, seriously. That was just what he was telling me.
Oh, God.
What's the matter?
Nothing. I just remembered something. I'll have to leave now. There's something I must do.
But before you go, about dissolving the partnership... I don't know how you feel about it, but
Anything you say. It doesn't matter. We'll do it any way you like. It isn't important now.
Hal? Oh, Hal, I'm so glad you're home.
Yes, listen, we have to get out of here.
It's so awful, Hal, being in a place you're so terrified of and being even more terrified of leaving it. I I've never in my life...
Norma, we have got to get out of here.
Out of here? Where to?
I mean, altogether out of this time. We've got to get back to the 20th century.
How? Something's happened, hasn't it?
No. Yes. Norma, there's no time now. Let's try the telephone again.
I want to know. Tell me how. Tell me. Number, please.
Listen, I want you to get off the line. Do you understand? I want you to just unplug yourself or whatever it is you do and just get off the line. Just for a minute or two. Will you do that, please?
Number, please.
Oh, for God's sake, shut up. If you can't get off the line altogether, at least shut up. Don't talk. All right. Listen, you, whoever you are, we have had enough of this nonsense. We want to go back to the 20th century, and we want to go back now. You're the one who got us into this mess. Now get us out of it. Do you hear me?
Number, please.
Damn.
What are you doing?
Pulling the wires out of the wall. Can't you see? I'm trying to get this lousy telephone back the way it was when we first moved in here. All right. Can you hear me? You in there and your damn stupid telephone? I want you to put us back. Do you hear me? We didn't ask to be brought here. We're not responsible for anything that happened before we got here. We want to go back. You can't punish me for something my great-grandfather did. Do you hear me? All right, don't answer. You don't have to answer. Just do it. I don't know what else I can do.
Hal, the phone isn't hooked up. You pulled the wires out of the wall.
It wasn't hooked up before when all this started. Maybe it'll work. Maybe it'll get us out of here before...
Before what, Hal?
Okay. Come on downstairs. I guess you'll have to know. And he's threatening to kill me. Blakely is. That's what my great-grandfather's esteemed partner told me this morning.
Well, then what are we sitting here for? We have to get out of this house.
It won't do any good, Norma.
It will. There must be a thousand places to hide. You're just a sitting duck here.
No, there's no hiding place but the 20th century. Back where we're really Hal and Norma Glenford. There's no hiding place at all in this century.
I just don't know what you're talking about.
The thing is, I remember now. I remembered while I was sitting there in Boyd's office.
Remember what?
I remembered hearing my grandfather. Was he my grandfather or my son? I remember when I was just a little boy hearing my grandfather telling my father about it.
About what, Hal?
My great-grandfather was shot to death by a business associate. By a man he'd cheated, ruined. That's what my grandfather told my father.
All right. That was your great-grandfather.
But it's already happened. To whichever one of us was here, it's already happened. It can't be changed.
I don't believe any of that. I don't. I want you to do something.
I've done all I can do. It's up to that telephone upstairs.
Maybe if we just sit here and think 20th century, it'll work. Close our eyes and just know we're in the 20th century. Listen for auto horns. Think about the Pan Am building. Try to decide what we'll watch on TV later. Breathe the polluted air. Mightn't it work, Hal?
It couldn't hurt.
Close your eyes.
That'll be Blakely.
Don't answer it.
You think I'm crazy? Now listen to me. If he's got a gun, he can get at us through the front window. I want you to head for the coat closet as fast as you can and get in there and stay in there until I tell you to come out. Have you got that?
Yes.
Norma, get in the closet.
No. Not as long as you...
Get down, Norma. Get down on the...
Hal. Hal.
Don't move, Norma. He may still be out there.
Hal, you're bleeding.
I am. I don't feel anything, but I can't seem to...
All over your shirt. I'm going to call an ambulance. Now, don't move. I'll be right back. Don't move.
I can't call an ambulance. I pulled the wires out. Remember?
I'll go out, Hal. There must be a cop or something.
I'll go, Norma. Please. It wouldn't do any good. It's... already happened.
But I can't just...
I might not be here when you get back.
Oh, Al.
I want to tell you something important.
All right.
The kid, next April...
I'll name him Harold, and I'll call him Hal.
No, anything but that. Anyway, his name was Edward, my grandfather.
Al, don't you think I ought
to... No, tell Edward. Tell him when he's old enough, understand? Tell him, get rid of the money. All of it. Dirty, filthy, dirty money.
Justice must be served. That goes without saying. But how many times? It's unlikely, of course, that anyone listening to me at this moment will ever find himself unexpectedly living in the 19th century. But just in case, how much do you really know about your great-grandfather? I'll be with you again in a few minutes.
There's a fresh new spirit sweeping the land. A free spirit that demands good products. Products that satisfy your sense of good taste and desire for economy. But above all, products that perform. Buick has been touched by this spirit. And this year, our crisply designed, solidly built Buicks will bring joy even to the most demanding of free spirits. The 1975 Buicks, dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
Young Edward Glenford, Norma's baby, was born in April 1898 and lived a long and, in some respects, fruitful life. He never made much money, but he gave away several millions of dollars, according to the instructions left by his father. But was it his father or his grandson who gave him those instructions? I leave you to puzzle it out for yourself. Our cast included Jennifer Harmon, Nick Pryor, Robert Maxwell, and Joan Shea. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Listen to Mystery Theater again tomorrow night. Same time, same station. Now stay tuned for the news next.
Married to his grandmother. Ew.
is that reverse incest?
Tonight's story takes place in Appalachia.
Right. Okay, now I have a question. Now, the grandfather was a rotten guy, right? I mean, he embezzled, yes, stole money, cheated, all of that.
Yep.
His great-grandson somehow traveled back in time and became him and got shot because of what his great-grandfather did. So was justice really
right.
served? Really? I mean, where's the grandfather?
Yeah.
Where's the
somehow,
grandfather?
Yeah.
I think.
Well, he was shot
a
down.
Sorcerer.
Yeah. As far as we know, he was shot down. Like, and then that's why his son gave away all the money, which was part of the family lore. But maybe he was a sorcerer and is living somewhere else now. Maybe even today.
Right. Who reached forward in time, grabbed his great grandson, brought him back in time to take the bullet, and he's off somewhere in the 14th century living like a king.
In Acapulco. Yeah.
Aruba or something, yeah. You're right, yeah.
Well, this really does twist your mind. It really plays.
Yeah.
There is so much to be learned from a tale like this. So much to be learned.
There is always something to learn. Eerie House Radio proudly presents a garrulous moral of the story.
It's apologies to Gar. If you really want something, write a letter to Santa, but never, never ask for something on an old telephone. There you go.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
That's just to keep the aliens out.
There you go.
Yes, it was a time when Ma Bell ruled the world.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's right. Like Lenny Bruce said, what are you going to do? You can't get mad at Ma Bell. You're going to end up with two cans and a string.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which at times was more reliable.
Yeah. We are all showing our ages desperately.
Yes. I actually did know someone once a long, long time ago in my youth that still had a telephone on the basement with the crank on it. Unbelievable.
Oh, wow.
Love to get my hands on that. Oh, I love historical items. I love antiques.
Well, my grandfather had probably one of the last party lines left in Lima, Ohio, and he didn't want to give it up, because although he couldn't always call out when he wanted, it only cost him like $2 a month. So he refused to give up his party line telephone until he eventually had to. The company forced him to.
Well, yep. If you really want to feel old, a friend of mine is a teacher. And she was teaching junior high, I believe. And there was some event or something like that after school. And she had to have the kids call their parents from the office. So the kids walked in to the office and looked at the phone. She said, well, call them. She said, I don't know my home number. It's just because they didn't have the cell phone. It's all on my cell phone. Well, okay. Now, the ones that did remember their numbers, she said, okay, call. They would say, how? She had to say, pick up the phone, pick it up. Okay, punch in your numbers. Now, put it down. Yeah, exactly. I mean, modern technology is wonderful, but, you know, the art of using an old-fashioned phone is
give them a rotary phone.
Rotary dial, forget it.
Watch them melt down with a rotary phone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Those damn things were heavy. If you had an intruder, that's what you go for, the phone. Whack them in the head with the phone.
Yes. And if you were mad, you got that satisfying, like, thud and ring when you hung it up forcefully,
yes.
You know? Nowadays,
yeah,
you just gotta
exactly.
Press the button through the back of the phone to show your anger, but, you know.
Yeah. Shove it in your pocket, you end up ripping your pocket, you know? No, it was much more satisfying. Yeah. If you did it right, you got that ding.
And obscene phone calls weren't just somebody trying to rip you off.
There were still those, but not as plentiful as today.
Not like they
not
are today. Not like they are today.
And more good prankies.
Yes.
And prankies. Pranky calls.
Oh, yeah. But now with call ID, you know, it's like possible scam. You don't even bother answering the phone.
Yeah.
Nope. Yep, just block it.
Right? Right. Yeah.
Yep. We have a good 25 minutes left of this live portion of this show. Sometimes we have a little extra time like we do today, and we have a little feature we'd like you to help us with. Lord Bloodraw, as our guest, we would like you to help us out by spinning our virtual Wheel O' Radio. That's right. We keep skits handy, and we stick them on the wheel here and see what comes up randomly. If you would step up kindly to the dais and give the wheel a spin.
Very good. Okay, and here we go.
Around and around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
Pardon me, but is this Steve Allen's dressing room?
If you were a half a man, I'd thrash you for that.
But I'm not half a man, I'm a woman.
No help, please. I'll find out for myself. Now, what's the idea of barging into my room at this hour of the night without even knocking?
Well, I could say the British are coming, but actually that isn't...
Tell that to Steve Allen. He's dressing with Paul Revere's horse down the hall.
It's Gene Autry's horse, but thanks. That's the room I'm looking for.
You can't miss it, Steve. There's a watering trough and a bucket of apples right outside the window.
Uh-huh.
Under the apple tree. There's a beautiful story behind that apple tree, honey. And if I ever get you behind that apple tree, I'll whisper it to you.
Well, that's very interesting, Mr. March, but I
You can call me Groucho.
Then you can call me Eve.
Then you can call me Adam, and let's get back to the apple tree.
I really must go now, Mr. March. Goodbye, Groucho.
You'll regret those words as long as you live.
Our Miss Brooks. Our Miss Brooks, along with Groucho March.
Yep, that was actually from the very first national Steve Allen comedy show.
Oh, yep. What year was that? Do you know?
Oh, off the top of my head, I was thinking about 1951, but
okay.
Not sure, not 100% sure.
Okay.
So we started doing live radio shows in January of 2017, right, Dave?
Yep.
Do you have our running total of how many shows, how many skits? You had a good running total the other day.
We have a running total. Of course, it doesn't include what we've done this weekend so far, but so far this year we've done 190 shows with 103 different clips, and since we've started, 979 shows and 575 clips. So,
congratulations, Ed.
We've only scratched the surface.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that wonderful? There's so much out there. Yes.
It's so much fun to do this live because we've got the live chatters. Fogs Bane's always here. GGSI Paper is often here, although they didn't make it tonight. Good old Bob dropped in. Linda Lou. And, of course, the regular cast, CW, Dave, myself, and Gar was even here. He's getting ready to do his live show at 8 o'clock right after our show is the live section of our show.
Yeah, he's actually on the air right now, should be.
Yeah, he's
as
one of the few horror hosts that does it live. He is out there doing it live on the Internet.
Does a live 3 to 4 hour show with a live audience right there in the chat room, responding to them as they're coming across there as he's doing his show. Absolutely amazing. I would not have that kind of courage myself.
Oh, that'll keep your hands full, yeah. Oh, yes.
Most definitely. Wow.
Yeah. Well, that's great. I mean, so what, let me ask you, what inspired you guys to want to present all of this great old radio gold that you are presenting?
I'll let Dave take this one first.
I pestered Dale. No, well, I did, actually. As he was looking for an identity for the Erie House radio, I said, you know what, Dale, there's a ton of old radio out there. And I fell in love with radio programs back when I was in junior high school. And through the library and records and reel-to-reel tapes and whatever I could, cassettes, whatever I could get my hands on. And I just knew how much there was out there. And having lived it and loved it and studied it, I thought it would be a great thing to do on a Friday night. And little did I know. But, and that's kind of how we got into the radio, because probably because of my love for it. And when Gar came along, he also he also has a great love for the old radio as well. And Dale purposely doesn't listen to the programs so he can be surprised along with everybody else as the show goes on.
Yeah, so we all bring a different angle. You know, like Dave's our play-by-play guy, so to speak, and myself and Gar and CW, we're like color commentators if this were a sporting event.
I was just walking through a mall stealing their Wi-Fi, and next thing I knew, I got hooked up with them.
No, and we're so proud of Dave because I mean he's been doing radio forever in some fashion. He sometimes brings old productions from the 70s and 80s that he's made, and they're really quite good. They're dramas, much like we heard today on CBS Radio Mystery Theater. He's been hosting movies now for a good 10 years, no, Dave?
Yeah,
longer.
A good 11 years. Yeah.
The Weirdness Really Bad Movie, and he had the distinct honor with a side program he does called Spaceship One of reuniting for the first time in, I don't know, 30, 40 years, Big Chuck Schadowski, 40 years, Big Chuck Schadowski, Little John, and Houlihan all in the same program, and that was like an incredible.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it was a thrill and joy because really my show is modeled very much after Big Chuck's, except that we do most of our hosting out on location. Then I try to match the movie with the location. Well, outside of being on location, the kind of skits and humor that Chuck provides is something I've always enjoyed. And so that's really where I form mine after. Dale's, yours came off of a different kind of influence, though.
Yeah, I was a big fan of the Ghoul, and I had the good fortune to meet with him in person and get onto his television show, playing programs and stuff like that back in the early 80s. I used those experiences to start a disc jockey career. I played in nightclubs, did weddings and stuff for maybe, I don't know, 15, 20 years. Then got the old real job for a while. And then when my son hit his teens, we were searching on the internet for science fiction soundtracks. We were collecting music, you know, and I stumbled on this website by a guy from not too far from you. Mike Monahan had this wonderful website that was a tribute to horror hosts. And that was like in maybe the early 2000s when it really dawned on me. Wow. Every area, every broadcast area, local broadcast area had these tremendous horror host, and I got to learn about guys like Bob Wilkins, who went way back. I was fortunate. I have a copy of one of his shows in which Forrest Ackerman was a guest, and I mean, that's a great show to have. But to see what kind of program he had and his way, and to see people like Zachary and Vampira and Sven, the old Sven Gulli, as well as, you know, Rich Koz when he was younger.
Oh yeah, yeah, and it's we're in the middle of another horror host explosion because of the internet and there being so many different outlets for television, or you know, both visual and audio horror hosting. You know, there's just so many ways to get your shows out there. We're really in the middle of another boom right now when it comes to that kind of entertainment, and it's been with us ever since properly 1954 as far as television horror hosts. That's when Vampira started, but of course the big boom was in 57 with the release of the Shock Theater package of Universal movies to television, and all the independent stations just either hired an actor or pulled some guy out of their mail room, put a costume on, and go out there and present the movie. You know, that was the big start of it, and it's still going strong. There's something that just works about horror hosting, and specifically for horror and science fiction films, really, because they're so kind of out there and weird. It's kind of comforting to have a host figure or a friend figure to watch the movie with, and for the host to point out the weird things or the funny things or the unusual things or just trivia and things about the stars of the films for the for the audience. My friend John Stanley, who took over Creature Features from Bob Wilkins. It still blows me away today that I can call him my friend, but he's a great guy. Did a panel at a convention a few years ago talking about horror hosts, and he compared horror hosts to shaman. He said that the position of a shaman in society is to go to the other world and come back and lead other people into that other world and through that other world safely and then bring them back. And that's what a horror host does every Friday or Saturday night. I thought, wow, that is a great way to look at it. It's a very fun way to look at it.
Well, that is an incredible way to look at it. I never thought of it like that.
Isn't it?
That's
wild. Yeah. Well, John Stanley is a great, great guy. You might want to reach out to him and have him on the show. He'd be a wonderful guest. He would remember a lot of these readers. As a matter of fact, I borrowed a cassette collection of a complete cassette collection of The Witch's Tale from him. I still got them. I wonder if he knows I've still got them. If you're listening, John, I still got those tapes. So.
Well, if we have them as a guest, we'll be sure to remind them that you still have them.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hurry up, make copies.
Yeah.
You know what's funny about most of those Witch's Tales is that most of those are from Australia.
Is that right?
Because the creator, Alonzo Dean Cole, got so upset in the mid-60s that he couldn't syndicate those shows out to anyone, and the radio stations wouldn't buy them when they were starting to buy, you know, Arch Obler's programs and things like that. He destroyed all of his acetate. And so there weren't that many that survived, but luckily he had sold the scripts over to Australia where they produced them. So most of the shows that we hear from The Witch's Tale are actually from Australia.
Is that right? I did not know that.
I have learned so much from this guy about how various shows were saved that would otherwise be, you know, much like film. There's films that are lost for all time. God, we'd all love to see London After Midnight. But there's a ton of radio missing still. Even though there's a ton that survived, there's a great deal that's missing.
Yep. Well, I mentioned before with Mystery Theater that we heard tonight, that was entirely saved by fans. I mean, yeah, the high kept them, and he locked them up in a vault, and his family's got them. And they just want to make sure people aren't making money from them. But, you know, essentially, these were fans of the show that recorded them religiously. A lot of them coming out of WOR, some of them out of Chicago, out of Fort Wayne, Dallas, and Seattle. That had it not been for the fans recording these shows, nobody would have any of these.
Yep.
Wow.
Incredible.
Dave explained, too, how World War II saved a lot of radio because of so much that was recopied and sent overseas for servicemen to enjoy.
Right. I was listening to an interview with Howard Duff, who was drafted and part of Special Services, and basically it was he and Elliot Lewis that really got that thing going. And when Chuck Shaden out of Chicago, who was interviewing him, said, you know, you don't know how much radio you saved by doing this, because people saved those recordings and such instead of destroying them like they were supposed to. And that's why, because when it was done live and recorded, that was it. The networks didn't record it. Johnson Wax Company did for when they you know, had Fibber McGee and Molly. They recorded every program that they did and kept it in an archive. But most of it, once it aired live, and it was done. That's why these shows were never even really copywritten, because, you know, what are you going to do with them? And then there's another show, new show next week. So
Yeah, you're right. I noticed a lot of the episodes I hear will say they're from the Armed Forces Network. So I guess those are the ones that were saved by, you know, thank God they were, you know, or we wouldn't have all this great audio entertainment. But, yeah, it was looked at as a totally disposable thing. Early television, too. There's a lot of early television that is just gone. And, you know, some there's a few kinescopes out there of a few things, but a lot of it just did not survive because it was looked at as disposable.
Especially once they went to videotape because they could re-record over it. You know, where are you going to store all that? Because that was like 2-inch videotape back then. That was big reel show, even a half-hour show. It's a lot easier just to record over it and reuse it.
How a lot of horror material was lost that way.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Well,
Ernie
there's only a few segments of Vampyra. From her actual show that still exists. Luckily, they're finding new stuff all the time. Like she appeared on the Red Skelton show in this great skit called Dial B for Brush, which was wonderful, along with Bela Lugosi and Lon Chaney Jr. That's just hilarious. And then there's something from, I think, the George Gobel show that she appeared on as well.
I saw that recently. Very good. And she's her creepy self. Yeah. It's awesome. You can see where some of the gags Adam's family got because she laid down on the couch and did the old mind if I smoke, and, of course, all the smoke starts pouring out of the couch.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, which is turnabout's fair play because her initial, the way she was hired was she went to a costume party dressed up as, what the character that would become Morticia Adams. And was noticed that way, and then she developed a Vampyra from that look. Yeah.
Yep.
It all goes around and comes around. That's what's great about
it. Hey, Dale?
So many people influence each other, and it builds, you know.
I have a wooden nickel left from my paycheck last week, if you'd like to insert that into the jukebox.
I will not. You can insert your own nickel.
I hate to touch stuff that I've touched. Okay.
Yes.
Here I go. Because
he knows where he's been.
Man, I do know where I've been. I'm going to reach over and put it in the jukebox here.
Horrible picture.
Not much money, oh, but honey, ain't we got fun?
If wifey wishes to go to a play,
don't wash the dishes, just throw them away. In the winter, in the summer,
don't we have fun? Things are glum and getting glummer,
still we have fun. And the poor get children.
In the meantime, in between times, ain't we got fun?
What a fun one.
Dropped a bundle on a pony.
Now we gotta eat bologna.
Temper, ain't we got fun?
Now hear this. I bought another Paris hat.
What'd you have to pay for that?
Ain't we got fun?
I'm hysterical.
We've only started as Mama and Pop.
Are we downhearted?
I'll say we're not. Mama's coming here to stay. Hey, where you going?
That-a-way.
We'll have some fun.
Fun yet. Bought a Cadillac and credit.
Now the sheriff's gonna get it.
But he'll have such fun.
There's nothing surer. The rich get rich.
And the poor play bingo.
The rich get broke.
brushed
and the poor get brushed off.
The rich like Jesus
and the poor get Crosby.
Though we don't have fancy nights out in the parlor with the lights out, ain't we got fun?
A shot at Bing. Ooh, ow.
Always.
Oh! Bob Hope and Margaret Whiting. That's a great. That was a clean copy, Dave. That was a really nice
recording.
Good clean
copy. Yeah. Come across them every once in a while. Yeah.
That's another wonderful thing about technology. You find these older recordings and you can digitize them, clean them up, and make them sound as though they were freshly recorded.
You wouldn't believe how much the work Dave puts into cleaning up some of the rough stuff that we just have to have it. It's so good. It might be a bit scratchy, but Dave actually enhances them pretty good sometimes.
You have some really great copies of shows on your radio shows there in the auditorium.
Oh, again, I'm only 10 episodes in, so I tried to pick, some of my favorites and then also stuff with good sound quality. After I'm doing this for another 5 years, I think I'm going to be struggling for good sound quality. And I might need to employ your services in digitally cleaning some of these things up. Because some of them are just, the stories are great, and you can tell what you can hear from them. They're wonderful, but they're scratched, and they're just, horrible sound quality on some of the stuff.
In a way, it's like some of the public domain movies that, there's just some of them there's not good copies of, but you kind of have to play them at some point or other because it's just so bad it's good.
Exactly right. Yes.
Somebody once asked me something. I can ask both of you guys. If you could host any movie, what movie would that be? Just off the top of your head, the first thought.
Ooh. I know what I would do. If it ever went in, and if it ever comes to public domain, Gloria Holden in Dracula's Daughter.
That's a good one.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, that's a great one. Okay. I would say King Kong. I don't think I've ever hosted it. I've hosted a lot of non-public domain stuff, doing it live because the theater pays for the licensing. So I've hosted the classic Universals and that kind of thing, but I don't think I've ever hosted King Kong. I'd love to host King Kong, the original.
I haven't done any of the Universals. I would love to do Bride of Frankenstein, probably my favorite straight-up horror. King Kong, I would love to do because it's one of the films, that and Jason and the Argonauts, that made me fall in love with special effects and guys like Willis O'Brien and Ray Harryhausen and all the cool things that they did to make the monsters come to life.
My answer that was instantaneous was Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
Gotta go with the classics, right?
Oh, my goodness. That's something.
So what do we have going on next week on Erie House Radio, Dale?
Nothing. This is it. How are we going to top it after having the Lord on the show? No,
I'll come back.
We're typing throughout the week. We're typing throughout the weekend. Three shows on Friday the 12th. Quiet, Please. Calling All Detectives and Suspense. And, of course, the return of CBS Radio Mystery Theater. It's just so suitable for Saturdays on the 13th. Friday, of course, 8:30 Eastern, and Saturdays, as usual, 6:30 Eastern. Special two-hour show tonight. Thanks to our wonderful guests. Thank you so much for joining us, Lord Bloodraw.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate it. Had a blast. Great to be here.
There's a short period after the live segment where Blog Talk continues to record, then people can hear that in the archives, but we're about to lose the live feed in just a few seconds. So we'd also like to thank everybody who came and joined us in the chat today, Fogsbane, good old Bob and Rob Smith was here, I think, for a minute. I know he was here last mm-hmm. night. Everybody, thank you so much for joining us live. We'll see you next weekend.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
And him and her.
When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Wait for it. There you go. I got to have the candle, man.
There you go.
Oh, Vincent.
All right. Excellent.
Oh, Vincent.
All right, the live people can't hear us.
I just watched an episode of House of Frightenstein last night, as a matter of fact, on Tubi, I think it was.
Oh, I have to
you know what,
those up.
You know what's funny? As I got to watch those as a youngster when I lived in Buffalo, we got the CBC.
Oh!
And they played them.
Oh.
They played them there, and I got to see them when I was a youngster as they were being done, I think. So.
Oh, that's wonderful. Bobby Vann. Man, what a talent. What a talent. Like 6 or 7 characters on that show?
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
He is everything. The Wolfman character, the Hunchback character.
Yeah.
He was great.
Yeah.
See what happens when you don't have a budget?
Yeah. And if, right. He can't hire another actor.
Yeah. You know, and you got Vincent Price. How do you go wrong? You know?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and he's just having a wonderful time doing that. You can tell just that
yes.
gleam in his eye as he's doing those poems.
I don't think he was ever afraid to take on anything, whether it was comedic or horror, playing a heavy, he's fine.
Well,
Dale
and I had the opportunity to listen to his daughter at a Gulardi Fest. And one thing she said is he couldn't tell anybody no if they did something. So, why not? He ended up going and doing Thriller, and he had no idea who Michael Jackson was. And and yet, it's one of the most classic, at this point, one of the most classic Halloween songs of all time.
Oh, yeah.
And along with the video and everything else, you know, that's what a whole generation knows him from.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And before that is work with Alice Cooper.
Yep.
Yeah. Welcome to My Nightmare. Black Widow. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just great.
Nothing he wouldn't.
Tim Burton.
Yeah. Threw himself into everything 100%. Much like Lugosi. Lugosi, too. Whatever he was in, whatever kind of schlock stuff towards the end of his life, whatever direct, 100%. Never gave less than everything to a role. Yeah, and the Ape Man. I love the Ape Man. It's the most ridiculous movie, but Lugosi is just acting 100%. Man, he's giving it everything, and it elevates that film, I think.
Yeah,
I like it. And Ed Wood, Martin Landau, is to finish doing the scene. He gets in there, he's wrestling with that octopus, and he says, "Cut! That's a print." And he says, "That's amazing. Hollywood would be doing this for 3 days, and here he is, one take. Wow."
You know, he's incredible.
It was all a bad dream, right, Dale? It was all
That's
bad
what
dream.
I hear.
Yes. Scrolling.
Yes,
scrolling.
It was all a bad dream.
Yes, there you go.
That's our answer to anything. If anything goes wrong, it was all a bad dream.
That's right.
That's how we wash it out here. No, but it's a lot of fun, and we're so honored that you joined us today.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Yes,
thank
definitely.
You so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Always glad to be on.
Yeah, just keep cranking out all this great stuff between the movies and the auditorium.
Oh, thank you. Well, yeah, the auditorium is going to be doing that for the foreseeable future. Like I said, I just started it as a podcast, and then Nerve Wracking Theater, the next season is going to go into production probably in March. So that'll be 13 new episodes will be coming out around then, and then Cathode Zone, which is the Patreon. The Patreon exclusive only for supporters through Patreon, that just keeps rolling on too, because there's so much of that stuff. as well on television. And I'm not only like One Step Beyond and that kind of thing, but I'm looking for horror and science fiction-esque episodes of other anthology series, like, you know, GE Theater and Telephone Time and that kind of thing, too. And there's a lot of that stuff out there. A lot of those shows kind of dipped into horror from time to time.
Telephone Time was actually one of the episodes was the pilot for The Veil that Karloff did.
That's right. I showed it, The Vestrus.
Yeah.
I did that episode. That's right. And one episode of The Veil so far. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I want to have another streaming channel, because there's so much stuff you can put on like during the week, like those TV programs, like The Veil, like the Suspense and the Lights Out TV versions.
That's right.
And then you got horror-hosted movies for the weekends and unhosted movies. I miss doing that. That was a lot of fun. It was a lot of work, but a lot of fun.
I imagine a lot of work.
Just,
yeah.
You know, live stream was just a great, while it lasted, it was a great and very simple, once you learned it, it was very simple, and if you had enough material to rotate things in and out, enough bumpers and commercials, you could, it didn't take you, you know what I mean, it was time consuming, but it wasn't too difficult to program this stuff for 24/7 programming.
Hmm.
It's a job, but it's fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, it's got to be. Well, I mean, you know, thank God there are so many screaming and streaming channels out there that horror hosts can get their shows on. You know, there's so many streaming channels out there that are just open venues.
Yeah,
open venues for people like me doing shows. You know, it's a good time. It's a good time to be into this kind of thing. Also, because and I'm finding too that television is starting to open up a little bit more too, because there are some smaller independent stations out there that are kind of going back to homegrown programming and wanting to kind of make themselves a little bit more unique. So there are opportunities in that field as well.
There's a lot of creative people, even just the YouTubers and stuff. Contributor would do these short horror stories, and some of them were great. You know, they were written so well and performed so well, they didn't really require a lot of effects, but were still like, suspenseful. Yeah. Good music, which is always
great.
A great thing. We've talked about that here endlessly, how good music can make an average movie really good.
Right. Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, it's interesting you mentioned that radio shows not needing much in the way of effects. Lights Out was one of those radio shows that all of the most chilling moments came from the actors' performances.
Yeah.
That were just, I mean, terrifying. Terrifying stuff. Yeah. There's an episode called
Knock at the Door.
I'm not familiar with
it. And the interesting thing about that is throughout the 30s and the 40s, when you were on a Lights Out, you didn't get cast credit on the air for that. It wasn't until he repackaged them for the Devil and Mr. O that he started giving people credits on the air for their acting jobs.
Oh, that's interesting.
Think about it. All the recordings you've heard, and outside of the cat wife that Karloff did, they didn't really give the actors. I know that you could hear a younger Frank Lovejoy. You can hear Howard Duff on some of those, and they never got acting credit on the air for it.
Oh, interesting. Mm. Interesting. Yeah, a lot of actors got their starts on the radio. I'm sorry? Well, I thought I heard somebody say something.
Yeah. We thought you had something going there, CW.
Oh, me? What? Well, no, but I was just going to say that now that you mention it, since this horror hosting did sort of begin on the feminine side, we do have more femme fatales out there besides Elvira, more famous of a lot. We have Misty Brew. We have Sally the Vampire, June Leader.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just, you know, just opening it up for so many more who never would have gotten the opportunity so to do so. Hooray for technology.
I think it was Misty Brew who wrote a nice book about the female horror hosts and made a pretty comprehensive list of them, both from television and on the internet.
Yeah. Yeah, here in the Bay Area, we have Miss Misery's Movie Massacre as well.
Yes.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, her and I both got inducted into the Horror Hall of Fame this year, as you did as well, right?
I did, yes. Thank you.
Yes, that's right.
Congratulations.
That's right. Yeah.
Congratulations to you. All around.
Yeah.
I'm surrounded by greatness.
Yeah. Well, surrounded by something.
Did you make it
out
there? Did you make it out there to the ceremony this year?
I did. Cincinnati's about a four-hour trip for me, so it wasn't too bad.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, I didn't, unfortunately, but I'm hoping to make it next year. Because I haven't been to a horror hound in forever. It's been a long time, unfortunately.
Same here.
It has been a while, hasn't it, Dale?
Yeah. Funny, it was right around when your house started.
Yep.
Coincidence?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Stuff happens. It's
this poor guy gets stuck with me, you know.
It could be a lot worse. No, when I started, it was pretty much a talk show, and it was pretty much Saturday night. Then we started doing the Friday night with the radio programs and reserved Saturday for talk shows and guests such as yourself, which was still primarily talk. Then we started sliding in a radio show on Saturday night here and there, and we just got enveloped with it ever since. And, well, you heard the numbers. We played a hell of a lot of radio.
But when we have guest, we usually have them on a Saturday night and just have a lot of fun with it.
That's great. Yeah, it's fun. It's just a great conversation, and it's rare that I can have a conversation with somebody who is so knowledgeable about old radio and just kind of, you know, outer entertainment in general. When you mentioned the Mad Daddy, I was like, oh,
yeah.
I'll put his stuff on just his background stuff just to listen. He was amazing.
What a line of patter that guy had, though. I mean, just all flying off the top of his head.
Oh yeah,
but he never worked in New York. He never worked in New York for him. It just, I guess it's a Northeast Ohio thing, you know. It just never worked for him.
Well, I think LBR hit it on the head when he said, "There's something in the water out here."
There must be. Because it's incredible. Are you guys, by the way, familiar with a documentary called Virginia Creepers?
I've heard of it, and I have not yet seen it. It's supposed to be pretty comprehensive of the horror hosts of that area.
Exactly, yeah. My friend Mr. Lobo hosted, as a matter of fact, came out a few years ago. And, again, it's like, what an embarrassment of riches when it comes to horror hosts in that area. And a long lineage of amazing. Just amazing. Not many here in the Bay Area. You can go back to before Bob or around Bob's time. There was Asmodeus, who had I don't think it was called Shock Theater, but he had a show on Channel 36 or something like that. Then Bob, you mentioned Mike Monahan. His character Dr. Goldfinger was on Berkeley Public Radio.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, not a lot in this area, and I don't know why.
I don't
really
either.
Don't
it doesn't make
why.
Sense. The it's a, you know, California is known to be a wellspring of creativity.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a great, you know, and, you know, just the movie industry itself, not too far away, you know, just in Southern California, you'd think there would be everywhere, and not too many in my local community.
Well, you have better weather out there. You know, we're stuck inside here in Northeast Ohio a lot, so might as well tune in the TV, you know?
That's right.
You know, I was wondering that might be it. That is very possibly it. You know, there's such a wide range of things to do out here that people just aren't flipping channels and discovering these great shows. You know, maybe that's it. Could be. I don't
know. Cable might have been the end of that opportunity. You get programs like Mystery Science Theater, again, in a cold area like Minnesota. They got some long winters. Might as well watch those guys. And that was a clever wrinkle on the Horror Host phenomenon, what they did.
It was, very much so.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure you've come across it too, Lord. Blood Raw is when you say, well, yeah, I host movies, and one of the first questions, oh, like Mystery Science Theater 3000, well, not exactly, no, you know.
Once or twice I've come across that, and I say, well, no, I'm more, you know, I present the film, and, you know, it depends on the show. I don't really encourage the audience to shout things at the screen, you know, but some movies it actually improves it. You know, I'll admit that. It's absolutely true. But yeah, that was the thing. I love MST3K, but it's a double-edged sword because it also gave anybody who thought funny supposed permission to yell out in a theater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's a double-edged sword. You know, you got to leave that kind of thing to the professionals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like stunts. leave it to the professionals.
Leave it to the professionals. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, my.
Well, this has been a blast and a half.
Absolutely.
Yes.
It's been just
a
treat hearing you,
so
Lord Blood Raw, by all means.
Oh, great. Great to meet you. Thank you so much.
Felicitations to a Lady Blood Raw, who according to all of your closings, is the benefactor of your talent, as it were.
Well, she puts up with it. I put it that way. I'm the benefactor of her patience. That's the way I put that.
Yeah. I used to end my show as if I was taking a phone call for her to pick up a keg of beer, but in my wife's case, but, you know, whatever.
Stop. That's funny. That's funny. I like that.
Sure, honey. Okay. Told you not to call me here.
With that, good gentleman, I personally must be away. But again, it has been an absolute treat to cavort around with you all, especially Lord Bilatwa. Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I think it's our cue. But you know what? Since we have, I know it's usually CW's job, but since we do have a special guest, we should have him have the honor tonight.
Your honor
is that you get to call out the one and only Jimmy Durante to close out the show tonight.
Jimmy, the great Schnozzola himself, please take us home.
Good night. Good night. Good night.
Good night.
It's time to say good night. Good night. What more to say but good night? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Ari, go up, we the same, and ink-a-tink-a-doo. Good night.
night.
Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are.
Do you mind turning off the radio?